news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, the long-awaited decision by the Senate parliamentarian on including the proposed minimum wage increase in the coronavirus stimulus bill was finally announced, though it wasn't the one we were hoping for. Elizabeth McDonough ruled Thursday that Democrats cannot include raising the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour in the $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package. She said the proposal did not meet the requirements to be included in the package under the budget reconciliation process, which is what Democrats are using to pass the stimulus bill with just a simple majority. Even if they did have approval to include the provision in the bill, it was still a tough go. Democratic Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema both opposed raising the minimum wage, which has been at $7.25 an hour since 2009. Manchin suggested an $11 minimum wage instead. Now, this ruling only applies to the Senate. Nancy Pelosi announced that the House will hold a vote on the relief package Friday as is, with the minimum wage provision still included. There's also an effort by progressives to push Vice President Kamala Harris to use her constitutional role as president of the Senate to overrule the parliamentarian. Congressman Ro Khanna of California tweeted Thursday night, "I'm sorry, an unelected parliamentarian does not get to deprive 32 million Americans the raise they deserve. This is an advisory, not a ruling. Vice President Harris needs to disregard and rule a $15 minimum wage in order. We were elected to deliver for the people. It's time we do our job." Wow. Others are sending out similar statements, but the White House is against that idea. What happens next? I don't know. But Bernie Sanders isn't giving up. He already said that he'll file an amendment to take tax deductions away from large corporations that don't pay above a $15 an hour minimum wage. The other big breaking news story from Thursday night, the Biden administration announced that the U.S. military carried out airstrikes on a site in Syria used by two Iranian-backed militia groups. The strikes marked the first known military action under Biden and were in response to rocket attacks on American forces in the region over the past 2 weeks. A February 15th rocket attack on coalition forces near the Erbil International Airport in Iraqi Kurdistan killed a civilian contractor and injured 9 others. Iran denied involvement in the attack. The U.S. strikes come as Washington and Tehran are positioning themselves for negotiations about the nuclear deal, potentially complicating an already shaky process. So, more details about the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol building are coming to light as hearings begin. On Thursday, the House Appropriations Committee heard for the first time testimony from the acting Capitol Police Chief, Yogananda Pittman, about what unfolded on that day. She backed up the testimony we heard Tuesday in the Senate from her predecessor. That would be former Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund. He testified that he had requested backup from the National Guard by 12:58 p.m. on January 6th and continued to call for the next hour. In that same Senate hearing on Tuesday, the former House Sergeant at Arms, Paul Irving, insisted that he'd never received a request for National Guard backup until 1:28. Pittman also testified that 35 officers are being investigated for their behavior on the day of the insurrection. 6 have been suspended and had their police powers revoked. We need more information on that. And finally, Chief Pittman revealed that militia groups tied to the January 6th uprising have reportedly discussed a desire to, quote, blow up the Capitol.
We know that members of the militia groups that were present on January 6th have stated their desires that they want to blow up the Capitol and kill as many members as possible. With a direct nexus to the State of the Union, which we know that date has not been identified. So based on that information, we think that it's prudent that Capitol Police maintain its enhanced and robust security posture until we address those vulnerabilities going forward.
And now we've learned that the U.S. attorney in D.C. is investigating whether members of Congress gave recon tours of the Capitol to some of these insurrectionists before the January 6th siege. The House on Tuesday passed the Equality Act. It would prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity. The vote was 225 to 206, with just three Republicans joining all the Democrats in voting yes. Now, the House previously passed this bill back in 2019, but the Senate, then led by Republicans, blocked it. The prospects for its passage are somewhat better this year because Democrats now control the House, the Senate, and the White House. But Republicans could still block the legislation in the Senate, which is split 50-50. Democrats would need 60 votes to get past a potential filibuster. Just one more reason why we need to get rid of the filibuster. So, President Biden spoke with the Saudi King Salman on Thursday, pledging to work to make bilateral ties between the two countries, quote, as strong and transparent as possible, this according to the White House. Biden's conversation with the king, their first since Biden became president last month, came ahead of the expected release of a U.S. intelligence report on the 2018 murder of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi in Saudi Arabia's consulate in Istanbul, Turkey. Sources have said that the report, a declassified version of a top secret analysis, identifies the crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, as the person who approved Khashoggi's killing. Saudi Arabia has, of course, denied that the 35-year-old crown prince had anything to do with it. Sure. From the Hypocrisy is Deep files, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on Thursday night went on Fox and said that he would absolutely support Donald Trump if he's the 2024 Republican nominee for president. What?
If the president was the party's nominee, would you support him?
The nominee of the party? Absolutely.
Mitch McConnell said that it was Trump who was responsible for provoking the January 6th attack on the Capitol.
There's no question, none, that President Trump is practically and morally responsible for provoking the events of the day. No question about it. The people who stormed this building believed they were acting on the wishes and instructions of their president. And having that belief was a foreseeable consequence of the growing crescendo of false statements, conspiracy theories, and reckless hyperbole, which the defeated president kept shouting into the largest megaphone on planet Earth.
That is the sound of a man with no spine. Somebody get Mitch McConnell to surgery quick. And finally, on Tuesday, the Supreme Court will hear two cases that could be the undoing of what's left of the Voting Rights Act. I'm guest hosting the broadcast on Friday, and we'll speak with Vox's Ian Millhiser about just that issue. Democrats are trying to protect our rights to vote. They're trying to pass the For the People Act. It's H.R. 1 in the House and S.1 in the Senate. And it would stop partisan gerrymandering, limit money in politics, expand voting access, provide for automatic voter registration across the country, and require paper ballots. It would also require that early voting be made available, and it would expand mail-in voting and authorize $1 billion for upgrades to state voting systems. Polling shows that it's very popular on a bipartisan level as well. 68% of Americans approve of the reforms in the bill. 16% oppose the measure. Again, Democrats passed a version of H.R. 1 in the previous Congress, but then Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell refused to take it up. Now, every House Democrat supports the bill, while the Republicans, of course, oppose it. To try to stop the bill from becoming law, Republicans are launching a full-throated defense of the filibuster. The filibuster is a tradition that enables a minority in the Senate to stop legislation unless it can garner 60 votes. It's not in the Constitution. Just saying. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button. You've probably heard me talk about my dog, Jackson. He's my baby boy. And as he's gotten older, he's gotten really finicky about eating. He used to get so excited about food, he'd literally spin. Well, not anymore. In fact, I often have to spoon feed him to get him to eat. Well, no more. Not since we started feeding him fresh food made with whole ingredients, backed by veterinary science. It's Nom Nom. Now, I actually tried making food for him myself. I'd cook up big batches of chicken or beef with vegetables and rice or potatoes, but without knowing what I was doing, he wasn't getting the vitamins and minerals he needed, and certainly not in the correct balance. That's all changed now with Nom Nom. Go to trynom.com, trynom.com/sentbynicole. They'll ask you some questions about your pup and tailor a specific amount of individually packaged Nom Nom meals and send them to you. By using my special URL, trynom.com/sentbynicole, you'll get 50% off of your first order, plus free shipping, and it's a great way to help support this show, too. Again, that's trynom.com/sentbynicole, plus Nom Nom comes with a money-back guarantee. If your dog's tail isn't wagging within 30 days, Nom Nom will refund your first order. No fillers, no nonsense, just Nom Nom.